Washington, D.C. This is Warbird Radio.
They say that size doesn't matter, but we all know that's a lie. Size always matters when you're talking about trucks or that steak that you ate last night. Don't fall for those cheap gimmicks or stupid commercials. You want to increase your size, do it the old-fashioned way. Get yourself some man tires. That's right, man tires. A good set of man tires can change any wussy wagon into a respectable man-mobile in minutes. Just visit mymantires.com and see what you've been missing. That's mymantires.com. Men, the time is now. Log on to mymantires.com and tell them you want some of them man tires. Man tires, the original male enhancement. Available now, only on mymantires.com.
Supporting bees, the old-fashioned way. This is Warbird Radio. Tune in. Take off.
You are listening to the RC Scale Builder Show on Warbird Radio. Now here is your host, Mike Chilson.
And good evening, everyone. Good morning, depending on where you're at in the world. Glad you could join us tonight. My name is Mike Chilson, and I'm the host of the RC Scale Builder Show here on Warbird Radio, the world's only true station dedicated to warbirds, which is so awesome in my opinion. Today is Tuesday, October 28th or 29th, depending on where you live. And we're here to have a good time tonight. We got a great guest tonight. And I'm just going to kind of skip over my little outline here I have in front of you. We're going to get straight to the guest. But before we do that, what I've tried to do is several times a year I try and bring one of the builders on from RC Scale Builder who's recently completed a project and get them to talk about that project and maybe give some ins and outs of it. And, you know, we're really honored tonight to have a good buddy of mine, John Roth. John, welcome to the RC Scale Builder Show.
Yeah, g'day, Mike. How are you?
You know, you sound so formal.
What's up with that? It'll change. Don't worry.
Well, look, guys, if you want to join in the conversation tonight before we get started, let me tell you there's a couple of ways you can do it. You can give us a call at, I have to remember the number here, 478-787-4768. You can send an email to live@rcscalebuilder.com, or you can join us by clicking on the Join Us in Live chat link under the Listen Live button on Warbird Radio. There's a couple of guys in the chat room already, a couple of fans of yours, it looks like, John. Looks like Matt Wicks is in there and John. So, yeah, we're ready to have a little bit of fun. So let's get right to it, John. I tell you, let's get a little background on you. Why don't you tell folks a little bit about yourself and how you got started in RC Scale?
Well, it was actually about 25 years ago, but yeah, back as kids and that, we all flew control line and there were, you know, RC had just started and never got into that. Then the girls, the cars, and life after that. And it wasn't till late in my life I sort of got back into it after walking past a few model shops. I thought, gee whiz, they're changed, you know. So, yeah, that's how I basically got into it. And it's just over the years progressed, and I just love scale, and I love scratch building.
Well, tell folks a little bit about you and, like, where do you live at?
I live in a place called Liverpool, which is about 60 kilometres southwest of Sydney, out of Sydney.
Australia.
Right? Yeah, bloody Aussie, mate.
Yeah, because, I mean, I'm sure they all figured that out by the accent, but, you know, we have to let everyone know. So.
Oh, for sure.
And you have a lovely wife, and you got your little doggy there with you that hangs out in the workshop,
yeah.
Right?
In fact, he's right behind me asleep. So I've got to watch her walk these days, but and I've got the woman out working, you know, as she should be, keeping me in my comforts. Don't you tell her that.
You know this is recorded, right?
Oh dear, I'm in for it. No, she's good, and she's 100% behind me, as you know, like
as you'll talk later on in your show about the SAS and that, and what she does for modeling.
Oh, absolutely. She's a trooper, that's for sure.
Oh, for sure.
Well, that's kind of neat. And of course, you're a member on RC Scale Builder. How long have you been a member on the site there?
Well, I thought 8 years, but I complimentary got told just over 10 years. And I enjoy the site very much. I think there's a lot of information out there. A hell of a lot of nice guys, you know, which are forthcoming with information. And that's great. And everybody seems to want to help each other.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, we've got a lot of Aussie guys in it. And in actual fact, 2 weeks ago at a 4-day event I was running, there was, I think it was about 80% of them there were RC Scale Builder members.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah. Funny. Yeah.
Well, you know, it's guys like you and the other great guys on the site, like Merlin and Ken Lawson and all those, so many other guys. Those are just the ones that popped in my head that are just, that have built that to be a great community. And tonight we want to talk about your latest project, which you just recently finished up. And, the Miles Messenger. What a unique and beautiful subject. It's so ugly, it's beautiful. You know?
I haven't heard anybody say they like it, but they said it's certainly unusual in shape. And it's probably only its mother could love it.
Well, I'll tell exactly. Why don't you tell us a little bit maybe what the real full-scale messenger was used for and what subject you ended up choosing when you got ready to do the messenger?
Yeah, I happened to be involved with full-size warbirds. So one of the magazines came and there was a messenger flying in New Zealand. Mm-hmm. And I thought, gee, that's unusual. I like that. And then so I started to do a little bit of study into it and I found out like George Miles, in 42 about, produced a few of them and he was a naughty boy actually because, he produced it, flew it and designed it to do a purpose, job, which was only for, AOP, which the Air Ministry didn't like. So they wrapped him over the knuckles with it and refused to put it into their inventory. So only about 95 of them were ever built. But the example I did was at actually Montgomery. It was his mount. That was his personal aircraft for flying him around the country during the war. So it had a pretty significant history. And you know, it's quite funny, I'll just put this bit in here quickly, Mike, is that I was over in New Zealand in September 2012 for the flight of the Mosquito we built. We only did the timber work, of course, not the fit out. Avspecs did that and did a great job. I was picked up in New Zealand by Glyn Powell, who I think you've had on the Warbird show here. And we went over to the Mosquito and blah, 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 looked at it, and only two things failed. I think ASI, failed, and there was an oil leak and a prop. Anyway, it took off, so we raced back to Wartmore and wait for it. And so in the bar, of course, having a few beers, this guy straddles up to me, the ex-Aussie patriot, and introduces himself, and we have a beer together, and he said, you'll have to come over to our hangar and see a warbird or two. And I said, oh, yeah, what are you doing? And he said, oh, we're doing a Tempest at the moment. I thought, oh, wow, I've got to come and see that. And he said, I'll take you up for flight in me plane. I said, oh, yeah, you know, Cessna 172, 182, yeah, but see the countryside. And I said, what do you got? And he said, I've got the Miles Messenger. Oh, well, my eyes opened up like the back of a bum's cow, absolutely unbelievable. So, yeah, I got a ride and everything in it. And that's the example I did.
Wow.
It was the one in New Zealand, which is currently flying.
Well, that's awesome. That's awesome. That it's a beautiful scheme too, and obviously it's on the announcement of this show, so people can see it, and of course in your thread too. Also, folks, if you want to see the RC Scale Builder thread on John's model, I have a hot link in the show notes here on Warbird Radio if you want to check that out. Okay, so once again, if you'd like to join in the conversation or ask John a question along the way, you can call us at 478-787-4768, Skype us at Warbird Radio, that's all one word. Email to live@rcscalebuilder.com or just join in the chat room here on Warbird Radio. Well, let's keep moving forward because, man, we got a lot of stuff to cover in a little bit of time here. So did you build this from plans or did you scratch build it from 3Views?
I talked to one of the RC Scale Builder members, Richard Crapp. Mm-hmm. And he put me onto a set of plans that were available. Graham Smith.
Okay.
Dave Toyer, one of Richard's friends, had built one. So I said, well, there's the go. And anyway, I got the set of plans. And it was quite funny because I started the fuse first, so I could do a center section wing so I could start making landing gear, which I knew was going to be the Achilles heel for me. Uh-huh. And anyway, so it's a sandwich ply, balsa ply, formers, make your own. Okay. Formers type of thing, which are only a band, or only a half-inch wide band, so real monocoque in construction. And so I got on the Richard as proud as punch saying, oh, yeah, because it was 90-inch. And he came back to me and he said, oh, 90-inch is so last year, mate. Come on, up over, get it up. Go up 20%. And he said, that way David got some parts. He's got a canopy, front canopy, and a front cowl, just a nose section. And I said, oh, well, that makes sense. So I cut out another set. So I'm up 20%. And then I sort of got to me and I emailed Richard and I said, Richard, what's the cord across the aircraft at the cockpit? And he came back with a measurement and I thought, oh, Christ. It should have only gone up 10% for that size, so for quarter scale. So hence another set. So I've still got all those formers if anybody wants them. And but anyway, so, yeah, I finally got it, and I'm at 110-inch now, quarter scale, true.
Gotcha. Well, that's kind of good. Well, can you give some specs on the model, like the wingspan, the weight, the length, what motor and radio gear you use, that kind of stuff?
Yeah, sure. The plans brought it up to 108-inch, but I snuck an extra half-inch onto the wingtips because it was such a thick wing, very thick wing, and I thought, you know, that extra inch in or extra 2 inches, sorry, in wingspan is really going to help it, and nobody's going to see it up against a set of 3Views. There's no way.
Right.
So basically, yeah, I went up to 110-inch. The plane weighs just on 23 pound, which I was very happy with, and I did not. You have to use 1 gram of lead to balance it with. I was able to balance it with flight pack batteries.
Wow.
Yeah. And I'm using a 180 laser, which has more than enough power. Mm-hmm. And I'm using a I've got out of the stone age, I suppose, and I've had to finally go to 2.4. So I got an Aurora set and I fitted that. And so it's my first 2.4 plane. Yeah. So using a high-tech Aurora, because it's simple for a simple person like me, you know, like easy to program. It's pretty good.
Well, good. Well, that's cool. Well, it sounds like a nice size model too. And, big enough to be impressive, but not so big to be, you know, take 3 people to put it together. So,
It's a single person operation. I've made stands for it. So the fuse bolts into the fuse bolts onto a stand, which then bolts into the trailer permanently, so it doesn't move around in there. The wing's in a cradle in the trailer. It is a one-piece wing, not two-piece or three-piece. It's one-piece.
Yeah.
And I got it within on a digital scale, on a digital incident meter, within 1/8 of a degree from one tip to another. So it needed no trimming basically for flight.
Well, that's awesome. That's awesome.
One piece is not everybody's cup of tea, and I'm telling you, they do get banged around when you start moving, you know, like 110 inches of bloody wing around, you know.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. But, you know, you got to do what you got to do sometimes, right?
Oh, yeah, because at the field, I just lift the gull doors up there. I've got little gas strut imitations, that hold the gulls up there. Really, the longest part is just to join all the wires up. So they sit in the panel, then the pilot's platform all goes in there, and then four bolts, and that's it. Go, ready, flight.
Yeah. So let me ask you something.
Mm.
How many connections do you have between the wing and the fuselage as far as servo, radio connections?
There's four, because I've got one flaps for each aileron and one for each flap.
Okay. I needed that information for something specific. I'm going to send you a little, I'm going to send you a little surprise to help you out on that.
Okay. When you have a look at this thing, at the cord of it, and you see these trailing edge flaps, none of us knew how or what it was going to do when it was in the air. I talked to a friend on RC Scale Builder, Larry Pierce, who's got one, and he gave me a hell of a lot of information on do's, don'ts, what's, throws, all that sort of stuff.
Sure.
And pretty much he was right on the money.
That's cool. That's cool. Yeah, I remember him speaking up in your thread about some of that stuff. That was awesome. Yeah. It's always nice when someone else has one of these, you know, that you can pick their brain about.
Yeah.
Okay, folks, once again, if you'd like to ask John a question, now's the time. 478-787-4768. Skype us at Warbird Radio. The lines are open. You can also email us at live@rcscalebuilder.com if you'd like to ask your question that way. Or you can simply join us in the warbirdradio.com chat by clicking on the join us in the live chat link under the listen live graphic. Well, now we kind of get to the meat of it. This is where we're going to really talk about this thing. So what notable challenges did you come up against when you were building this model? I know you and I talked about a few little things along the way, but, you know, since my memory, I left my memory back at about 30 years old, you're going to have to refresh my memory too.
Hey, hang on, we're about the same vintage, I think. Oh, no, I'm a bit more vintage than you. the basic building of it, being that I'm a very avid Jerry Bates fan, you know, I love his plans and that, and Jerry's not too far off this Graham Smith plan.
Yeah.
I think the biggest challenge was getting the three rudders to work correctly. The plans did show a system in there, but that system could never work. Not in my thoughts anyway. So I made my own system, so everything was all hidden. You cannot see a control surface operating on my plane. Yeah. So everything's hidden. That was one challenge. The area around the flap area, where, because it's a trailing edge, very conical there. There's a lot of shape changing happening. That was very challenging. But an old modeler told me once, he said, you keep building and you all start to see it fall into place. You know, like, very difficult to wrap your eyes around it on a plan. But the building side of it, you start to see it come together. Ah, that's what that was for. Ah, that's why he did it that way, as you rip it apart and do it his way. Yeah. You know, like, I think they were the most challenging parts, other than the undercarriage, you know, like that. I really enjoyed the build of it, you know, like, and a lot of people used to come around here during it, and I used to have the fuse standing on its nose and that, and I didn't have the canopy gulls on it and all that sort of stuff. So
When everybody went, of course, I'd have to go and pick the beer bottles out of it, the tops, and any other rubbish they decided to put in it, because that's what they thought it was, a rubbish tin. but yeah, that were the challenging parts, Mike. It's, I'm trying to think, you did help me a lot on a couple of the items there that we had, and I can't remember them now either.
Well, I don't know about that. Well, you probably just bounced some stuff off of me and worked it out yourself, I'm sure.
Yeah, but yeah, because we were sending drawings to each other over Skype, you know, so
yeah,
I know there was something. But I think it was more to do with the mounting of the undercarriage on how we were going to do that.
Well, it turned out beautiful, that's for sure. What about, you know, that has a really unique set of flaps. How did those work out and how did they build out? Were there any issues about that? You know, for someone who maybe hasn't built a lot, that might be quite a daunting thing to look at that and say, how am I going to do that? Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. Once you got your head around the all the conical changes at the underside of the wing and the flap being a full aerofoil section in itself, and got all the hinges on and that, and said, oh yeah, that's really operating well and what have you. No, but we didn't know what it was going to do, being that far out and changing, like those flaps are nearly 3 foot long.
Wow.
And for flight, we didn't know. Well, you know, on the first initial flight, and this is no joke, the plane hit a bump and then just took itself off. A nice level fly out, you know, like I just couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
And then a bit of a down elevator had to be trimmed into it. Nothing for ailerons or anything, so everything was fine there. Motor was a little underpowered at that time, but that was a little problem that was fixed up later. It was in the carby. Came back and I had Alf Williams with me who did the initial test flight, and then I took over halfway between because I had to get MOP'd on the plane. And he said, let's fix these things up first. He said, let's check the incidence of these flaps. So I gave Alf the engine. He's an absolute whiz on lasers. And I brought the plane back here and put an instant meter. And there was that much down in the flap. And you really can't eye it off the wing because, as I said, there's so many changes in it. The flap is very deceiving to see. But we decided, Alf and I talked about it. We put an instant meter on that, then an instant meter over the wing, like two separate instant meters. And it was something like about 20 degrees in it. So I brought them back to zero.
Yeah.
And I took the plane back up to Maitland and put the engine in there, tidied everything up, fueled it up. And so I went and flew it then. Mm-hmm. And once again, I don't know whether I hit the same bump or not, but I did not apply any up elevator at all. It just took itself off. So that 20 degrees of flap down did not make a damn bit of difference.
Okay.
And it doesn't now, because when I was doing the first landing and approach and landing, someone was talking and I didn't hear the beep go off of the, because I got the slider on the left-hand side, because I fly mode two, didn't hear the beep go for the flaps to be halfway.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, I hear this thing that Larry warned me on. He said he had a 600 meter field, and he said he took up the full field of 600 meters because he didn't put flaps down. So I had to do a go around. And anyway, I got the flaps down. You must land with the flaps because it is a STOL type aircraft.
Yeah.
It's got to have them. And as soon as you go over the halfway, they become very, very effective. And then you can power. You can just use power. Keep your wings level and power, and pop it on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And the full flaps
absolutely so effective, it's not funny. And it's got a little funny trait. If you did say an overshoot, you've got to push throttle up while you're pulling flaps off. If you don't, it will try and nose into the ground.
Yeah.
So, you know, got to be very careful there. But you're not doing those overshoots all the time. But on landing, something like that could happen to you. So just got to be aware if you've got to do a go around with it, because they are, being trailing edge, they have their own little idiosyncrasies, I suppose.
Oh, I bet. You know, isn't it funny how, I know you've seen it before, a lot of, especially newer guys to warbirds, they would rather land the plane without flaps than with it, when the flaps just make it so much more stable, you know? And like you said, you just basically work with throttle and it lands itself, you know?
Yeah.
At that point, so. But that's cool. You know, it's good to hear about that flight report. I know that you posted some of the info in your thread, and there's a lot of great pictures from that flight in there too. So so be sure and check that out, guys. The next thing I wanted to talk to you about was the landing gear. I know you built it yourself, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And can you tell us a little bit about that? Were there drawings of the landing gear on the plans, or did you just have to kind of work that out yourself, or how did that work out?
Yes, there are drawings on the plans, and very good ones as well. I hadn't done undercarriage as before. And I spoke with Alf, who really is my mentor, and he said, "Build it yourself. Come on, just start. It'll all happen." In which I did. So it was a lot of hacksawing, filing on the lathe, go down to the airport and buy the chrome moly tube, and all starting to come together. And I thought springs, and John Gifford said, "I think Bunnings have got springs." I went there and which is a local hardware chain.
Uh-huh.
And by geez, they did too. They had a massive range of springs, and I was able to get two springs in, one inside each other and that, which I thought was good enough for that undercarriage. I had to change the locations of them a little bit to make them into the exact scale area, but that was no big issue.
Gotcha.
And I tell you, they work a treat. They haven't even been tested out. They haven't bottomed out yet or anything. They just work so well, that cantilever.
Wow. Yeah, they're definitely unique struts, that's for sure.
Not wrong. Them and the Ryan.
Yeah. You're just a glutton for punishment, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm doing Jerry's Ryan now, aren't I?
Yeah. So what did you use for wheels on that? Did you use any special wheels and tires, or did you just have some that you ended up using? Or
I used a straight out a tread pattern, not diamond.
Yeah.
On a Robart, I think, wheel, and gotcha. And then I redid the hubs,
gotcha.
Because everything where the hubs are and the brakes and all that, I did all that stuff, so it sort of looks the part.
Right. Well, that's awesome. You know, it's so incredible to go through and read your thread. One thing that I really enjoyed reading about and looking at the pictures was when you built the opening canopies and the doors there. That was quite a issue. Can you talk a little bit about that? Like some of the challenges you had there?
Now that's where you helped me. It was because what had happened when I was testing the engine and I was, you know, I am pleased it's punched there and whole things together, and I've got the doors and they all work off the handles and everything, and they have locked. And I run it up, and Cheryl's standing at the back of the plane holding it. And anyway, next thing, the bloody doors flick up in the air. What? Anyway, put them down, locked it again, started it back up, and went through. And this time I was watching it very carefully. And as I was bringing the throttle up, you'd see the door handles move, start to vibrate and undo themselves. And boom, in unison, both of them came up. And I thought, I can't have that happen in flight. And that's when you and I talked. And what I end up doing then, because I had no springs holding it or anything, I just thought its own friction off the off using the S-type levers and that would lock it in. But once again, I was wrong. And so I put a wall in the thing in the door itself with a spring off it, and I don't have another problem with that now.
Gotcha. Okay.
And yeah, really, that was the only thing.
Well, you know, it was really neat to watch that. I'm getting ready to have to build up my P-51A canopy, and mm-hmm. a lot of people don't know that it's like a two-piece opening canopy. The top opens to the side, and then the side piece folds down. And so I was really interested to see, you know, how that worked out for you doing something somewhat similar, you know. That's pretty neat. I was trying to think of anything else I read. I went and read through the thread this last week and had a couple of questions for you that I had thought about. But the tailwheel, I wanted to tell you something. That was probably one of the nicest tailwheels I've ever seen someone make. It looks very realistic, you know. And can you tell folks a little bit about how you did that?
Yeah, I just machined up some aluminium for the shock absorber gas strut type thing, and just used aluminium where I could, which was then going to be coated with balsa to give it its bulk shape. And I'm very happy with it, actually, because after all the flying that's happened with that thing now, that tailwheel has not even given a problem whatsoever. There's no cracking in it. There's nothing. And usually, you know, because you don't want to make them too heavy. That's the last thing you need is heavy weight down there. But, you know, I've had people push down on it, but I do warn people when they're holding the plane, please don't push down on the tailwheel, you know. But up until now, touch wood, nothing's happened to it. And it's as pristine as the day it went on.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. Well, yeah, be sure and check that out, guys, when you're looking at this thread. It looks really good, and I love the way it just all came together. John, we need to take a little commercial break and pay some bills here. But will you stick around, and let's talk a little bit more about the miles, and then we got a few other things we want to talk about.
No problems at all.
Okay, folks, stick around. We'll be right back after these commercial messages.
This is Warbird Radio.
They say that size doesn't matter, but we all know that's a lie. Size always matters when you're talking about trucks or that steak that you ate last night. Don't fall for those cheap gimmicks or stupid commercials. If you want to increase your size, do it the old-fashioned way. Get yourself some man tires. That's right, man tires. A good set of man tires can change any wussy wagon into a respectable man-mobile in minutes. Just visit MyManTires.com and see what you've been missing. That's MyManTires.com. Men, the time is now. Log on to MyManTires.com and tell them you want some of them man tires. Man Tires, the original male enhancement. Available now, only on MyManTires.com.
Supporting these, the old-fashioned way. This is Warbird Radio. Tune in. Take off.
You are listening to the RC Scale Builder Show on Warbird Radio. Now here is your host, Mike Chilson.
I just like to do air drumming along with the song. It's so awesome. Anyway, there you go. Awesome. Well, thanks a lot for sticking around, folks. We're back with the RC Scale Builder Show. I'm your host, Mike Chilson, and I have my good friend John Rolfe from way down under in Australia joining us tonight. John, I'm so glad you could take time out of your day to come on the show and tell us about this great project that you just finished up.
No problems at all, Mark. You know, as we were talking about it, you know, like if anybody ever wanted to do one, it is a great flying plane to have for competition. No retracts to worry about. It flies great. It's got everything going for it. And it's ugly. Yeah.
You know, I'm really surprised Jerry Bates hasn't done one as ugly as it is.
Give him time. Give him time. He's talking about it.
You know, I saw him down at the, just a little side note, I saw him down at the Rally of Eagles, and we were sitting around enjoying some adult beverages, if you can imagine that. And we were talking about new subjects. I said, I have the perfect new scale subject for you that is a Top Gun winner. And he said, what is it? And I said, brace yourself, Jerry, because this could be it. This could change your designer career forever. And he's like, okay, well, what is it? I said, the Goodyear inflata plane.
And what, that's when the Bonington's out of your hand?
Well, that's when the alcohol came flying across the table. That was the last thing I remember, you know?
Good picture of that.
We have a good time. What can I say?
Oh yeah.
Well, let's talk about some other stuff. I really appreciate you talking about your Miles Messenger. What a beautiful airplane, and I hope we can get some more video of it up on the site at some point.
I got a lot of pictures from 2 weeks ago. We had the big event. We'll talk about that in a minute. But I got a lot of photos there. Unfortunately, I couldn't fly it there, so I had to swap me Aurora over to Mode 1 for Anthony Ogle, who's been over there to Top Gun and Scale Masters there a couple of times. He wanted to fly it, and he enjoyed it immensely. You know, and I think there was only 4 points between him and Peter Goff. I think we got second in teams, which was pretty good.
Oh, that's awesome. Hey, we got a question in here from Matt Wicks. He wants to know where you get your material for your windows. I assume he's talking about the plastic.
Yes, that's trying to think of the place. It's over at Silverwater. Where is Matt from?
He's close to you, actually. I think he's not too terribly far from you.
Oh, right. So it's over at Silverwater. I'll think of the name in a minute, but what we use is PETG, or Vivac, they call it. And I use two types. I use a 0.75 and a 1 mil. Okay. So, like for sliding canopies, I like 1 mil because there's a bit of body in it.
Yeah.
And I do have some 0.45, I think, that we pull for a second one to make a frame. So, and you paint that up as your frame and still have the top. But we're lucky we've got one hell of a vacuum forming machine, which will form up to 6 mil plastic. So, So I can do 1 mil pretty easy.
Well, that's pretty cool. By the way,
if Matt wants to contact me.
Yeah.
Or contact you. No problem. I'll give him the address of this, but it's over at Silverwater. Off top of my head now, I just forget the place. But if you need some, or even I've got sheets of it here.
Okay. Well, and by the way, anyone listening who's a member of the site, John's username on the site is Hawker, Hawker. And you can private message him on the site if you have a question, if you're listening to the podcast after the fact. So I'm sure he'll help you out if he can. Let's talk a little bit about some other things going on and what else you do down there. I know you're heavily involved with the New South Wales Scale Aircraft Society.
Yes.
And can you tell us a little bit about that and maybe your role in it and what the organization's about?
Yeah, sure. We started this about 17 years ago. We were an offshoot from another organization here, which I won't go into politics once again. So we started this, and anyway, about
a bit over 10 years, probably 11 years ago, I became president of it, and have ever since. But as I said to you, or sent you a private message there, Mike, is that I'm stepping down in November. Cheryl and I are both stepping down because two reasons. One is I think we need some new ideas, blood, what have you, at the pointy end. Second is we've done our penance, remembering we have to go to every event that's held, every event to run a. Cheryl does all the scoring, and this is where I'm saying she's so involved in this, does all the scoring. She does all the organization of accommodations, everything for everybody, you know, like, and we've probably made it pretty hard for ourselves. And so we've only got ourselves to blame. And so I am stepping down, or both of us are stepping down in November after our last round. I've done everything for next year for them. And all the certificates and everything are all done. So pretty sad for me, but I think it's time. I think it's time. Yeah. We just had a big event which Cheryl and I put on there, the Invitational Scale Classic Down Under, and it absolutely went off. It was a cracker. We had great planes there. Ken Lawson was across from Tasmania. We had people from South Australia. We had people from Victoria, Queensland. And we are going to run this event biannually, so it'll be 2016 before it runs again. But we're going to stay involved with that type of thing in scale competition. And this is run on a format of Top Gun.
Okay.
Same type of scoring, same type of performances that you have. And we run the four qualifications, which is flying only, team, masters, and expert. So... yeah, that's what we have. We are the largest, the New South Wales Scale Aircraft Society is the largest special interest scale group in Australia. Mm-hmm. And we've maintained that for forever type of thing. And I believe it will stay there because I think somebody will step up there with some younger ideas and that, and let's move it maybe in another direction. I'm probably an old stale fart now, you know, like, so I hope you're allowed to say that. the time has come. So I'm always into scale, even, you know, like, no matter what. Even if I've got a Sunday flyer, it's a scratch built plane, or a kit, you know, depending. But yeah, so that's where we are with that at the moment, mate.
Well, there you go. There you go. I know you guys put on some pretty neat events down there. And people always find it interesting that it's funny. You guys in Australia and the guys over in the UK, you kind of flip back and forth as having the second highest number of members on the site from your country.
Okay.
So it's kind of interesting. You would think Canada would be second, but for some reason they're not. They're down the list a little bit. But there's obviously a huge modeling population there in Australia, and we certainly appreciate. We have a lot of members from Australia, and I know I appreciate everyone that participates on the site. And I know a lot, like you said, a lot of your buddies are there on the site, and I've made some new friends like you and so forth. So, you know, these groups like the one you've been involved with, you know, they're key to keeping this hobby alive and, passing everything good about it on to others, you know?
Well, that's so true. And it's the same with a lot of, areas, Mike, like RC Scale Builder, for one, is that the art of building from scratch is dying. We all know that, and we've got to face that fact. And probably I could probably say in the same sentence there, the art of building from a kit is gone because we don't have Top Flight round anymore. We don't have Proctor around anymore. Which are supplying the a reasonably good Top Flight have always supplied a good scale sports type warbird.
Uh-huh.
And I only say sport because they change the moments a little bit to make it fly, because they don't want them to crash,
right?
You know, easily. So they're gone, you know. But I tell you what, there's thousands in roofs somewhere, though, because, by Jesus, there was a lot bought, and you don't see many.
That's right.
Say, at least at the Scale Classic Down Under, nobody had a Spitfire there, and that's a first.
Really? Wow.
There was not a Spitfire. So I just want to throw that one in. But, yeah, so, you know, like, I'm trying to encourage building. I got young Anthony Ogle. We're doing Jerry Bates, the P-39, the Aerocobra, the prototype for Jerry. And there's been a couple of issues, and Jerry's fixed them for us and all that. So people out there that are going to get the plans are hopefully get it trouble-free.
Yeah.
And we want to bring that over to Top Gun, that plane. And so I split the difference with Anthony. I said, you do the wing, I'll do the fuse. Because there's a lot of mouldings we want to make for Jerry and that, you know, like for scoops and stuff like that that can be glassed as a buy it type of thing from Jerry, and instead of having to carve it out. So yeah, I'm going to get him cracking, and he can build, but the ARF movement is sort of slowed all that down, because they are getting better and better. They're still only one-hit wonders. Like, they hit the ground once, that's it. They'll never – you can't put them back together, basically, because they do fly apart. I'm not knocking any companies there. It's just generally what happens with them. It's how they've constructed. But, so we're trying to keep it going as long as we can, and as long as I have – still movement in my fingers and sight in my eyes, and the fridge is full of wine and beer and that, I'll still scratch build.
There you go. Well, I think that's probably a great way to wrap this up. And I want to thank you again for coming on the show. And it's really, it's really important, I think, that folks get to know a lot of the guys on the site. And this gives everyone an opportunity to hear a little bit about you and your thoughts on things without having to read it in text. So, I think it's a good thing. And we'll get some other folks on to do this too. I want to get Ken Lawson on too. You know, he's such an articulate and funny guy to talk to. I think he'd be a great one also. And of course, you know, I've been trying to get Merlin for years, but he's,
yes.
He'd rather sit there and share a beer with you than talk on the show. So,
okay, yeah. Well, I was with Ken 2 weeks ago, and he had a ball at Cootamundra. So, and he left a little note in me trailer because I've always called him six fingered individual. You know, like
that. Right.
You know, I have a smile on my face, of course, when I say it to him.
Sure.
And I think we stirred him up a little bit on Skype too, Mike. So,
Anyway,
he left me a nice little note there saying six fingers and two heads. I won't say the word, but on the note. Well, that was pretty cool.
Well, that's cool.
A hell of a nice guy.
Yeah.
Him and Clive build massively big planes. He just got a little issue with this engine at the moment, but I'm sure he's going to sort it out real quick.
Oh yeah. Well, John, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Right.
We're gonna wrap a few things up here, but I really appreciate it. And like I said, folks, if you'd like to contact John, you can contact him on RCSB under the username Hawker, HAWKER. Or if you need to get in touch with him, you can email me here on the show at live@rcscalebuilder.com, and I'll get the message to him. Thanks a lot, John. That's about all I can say in wrapping up. And I hope you'll come back another time, maybe on your next project, and we'll talk about it.
Crikey, of course I will, mate. Yeah.
Pal. Well, thanks a lot, and we'll be talking to you soon, okay?
Okay, then, enjoyed it. Thank you very much, Mike.
Uru. All right. That was John Rolfe. What a great guy. He's always a pleasure to have on the show, and loves to talk about airplanes, which is always a good thing. Matt, are you around, buddy?
No, I'm not, Mike, but I will
okay,
be for you.
Okay, well, this is a facsimile.
That's you, right. That's right. This is only an illusion. No, I'm here. I love it when you have John on. It really is fun. And he brings so much character to the show. So good stuff.
I'll tell you a little story is every time I have him on the show, I sit here and make tick marks every time he says an Aussie phrase.
He said quite a few of them tonight.
Yeah, he did, like fair dinkum and right. touch wood and, you know.
What?
Yeah. No.
What is he talking about?
I got to tell him that means something totally different here in the U.S.
So. Yeah, I haven't heard from Dave Homewood yet, but he's clearly not listening tonight. Or he'd already
either that, or he's ignoring you.
Or he'd be incredibly nervous right now. They were calling him out and saying, "Hey, we hope you're host next week." But I don't know who he's going to have on.
Well, hey, look, just real quickly, there's a couple of upcoming events I want to let people know about. There's the Eagles at OCMA in Irvine, California, November 1st. Gathering of Eagles. That's the Dino DiGiorgio Senior Memorial Warbird Rally.
That's a mouthful. That is
November 6th through the 8th at Ball Grounds, Georgia. I'll be there, and a bunch of folks from RCSB will be there. Delta Valley Modelers 6th Annual Jet Rally, November 7th in Lodi, California.
Will Pedro be there in Georgia?
Pedro, that's Pedro's home field.
I know. Will Tyler Perry be there?
I don't know if Tyler will be there or not. I hope so. Maybe he'll come out. He came out 1 year.
We'll see.
So,
And you thought that was Madea flying, but it wasn't.
You know, nothing would crack me up more than if he came out as Madea. Hello.
Need to have him on the show at some point. But he's quite the modeler out there, though.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Pedro's flying, buddy. Anyway.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Anyway, I'll post links to these events on the show notes and on RCSB. And, man, it's great to have the show going again. I got a lot of good feedback from
your
from
mother.
Folks,
your mother.
From my mother. Yeah, mm-hmm. Well, that might be kind of hard to do since
she's dead. Yeah, but, you know, hey, anything's possible, especially when it comes to voting.
Exactly.
So, you know, hey, whatever, right? Whatever.
Man, you're gonna make me be bad here.
Oh, yeah. No. All right.
Anyway, it's just great to be back. And, man, what a great show that was. I really enjoyed listening to John talk about the Miles Messenger, you know. That's a beautiful model. And, you know, to look at it just at a glance, it's hard to tell that it's, you know, not real. So in some of the photos. But what you got going on this week? Anything special coming up on the station?
Well, this week we Tuesday nights now are the big night,
right?
So there is going to be some new stuff coming out next week, and I can't divulge too much yet. But we're working on some stuff. We have a few tricks up our sleeve. You know, Mike, I want to just say this too, because I think a lot of people get confused about the station. We never have reported on crashes. I received an email this week asking why we didn't talk about a specific incident. And I think that you and I both agree in this, that we want to celebrate the good stuff. The drive-by journalism is just not our style. So that's never been us. But along that vein, the restoration side has been and will continue to be what we want to promote. We want to talk about folks that are out there doing this and saving this history one aircraft at a time. And so In that vein, to answer this question that was posed to us this week, you know, why we don't report on that stuff? Well, it's really simple, because that stuff is not the stuff that people really are interested in. People want to know about the stuff that's working to save the history, I should say, not per se take it away. And unfortunately, this week we did have an incident. The aircraft it was not lost. It was a non-issue. I mean, so I didn't see the sense in reporting it. But I guess I bring that up because you're not going to see that stuff on the site. So if you're looking for that kind of stuff, don't be coming to us for it, because you're not going to find it here. And I think that's part of the trust that we've built up with the folks who we all call friends these days that fly this stuff, because they know that they're not going to see that on here on WarbirdRadio.com. And I just I wanted to put that out there because we had some, I had a couple of emails this week. I was kind of bothered by them. I thought, you know, look, this is, that's not what we're about here. We're not going to get hits on our site because of, you know, putting some unbelievably terrible picture up. That's just not who we are. And we're not going to.
This isn't a network news station.
No, it's not. And we don't want it to be. And unfortunately, there's some other sites that are out there right now that are, they're garnering a lot of traffic off that kind of stuff. And that's fine. People want to, I'm all about saying, hey, look, so-and-so is okay, but I don't think we need to bring attention to this. And that's just not our style. Yeah, we're journalists, but we're not drive-bys. But with that being said, I don't know how I got off of that tangent other than the email, but that, with that being said, there's some really, really cool stuff that we're working on for this week that we're going to have, especially on the show next week, in regards to some restoration stuff. But you know how people are. They want to keep it quiet until right before they bring it out. So
neat
stuff coming down the pipe.
Well, hey, you know, one thing I forgot to mention was the big B-17 benefit going on at Bomber Field.
Yeah, that's right. And this is actually to benefit, if I remember right, Texas Raiders.
That's right. The Gulf Coast Wing of the commemorative Air Force.
Spit it out, Chilson.
Almost said it.
Spit it out.
And that's November 15th. Air Force. So be sure and check that out if you're in that area. That's a great benefit. And I believe all the money made goes to the that wing.
That's right.
Their B-17. Yeah.
That's right. Good stuff. All right. Good on you, Mike. I look forward to having you back on in another few weeks.
Yeah, me too. You know, it's always fun, and we have a good time. And what else can you say?
I mean,
there
are no more flying adventures that I'm aware of coming up this year. They've all been had. So it's time now to focus on building and maintenance for all of our other listeners out there. It's building season. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Here's your drumming. Time to get drumming.
All right. I love that music. It's so awesome. It reminds, you know what it reminds me of? Ocean's 11. Doesn't it remind you of that?
No.
Yeah, it does. Watch that. Listen to the movie. The soundtrack from the movie.
I'm just needling you. Sure. Oh, yes, Mike. Totally hear it. I can totally hear it.
Whatever, Mike.
Yeah, whatever, Mike. Take us home.
Okay, well, thanks, everyone, for listening tonight, and that's going to wrap up another great episode. Thanks again to John Rolfe. I really appreciated him coming on. I hope you enjoyed the show. And if you're listening live, thanks so much for listening live. If you're listening via podcast,
Listening live?
That's right. You should be listening live to us. We have a lot of fun. And maybe next time someone will not be so shy.
They'll call in. They still think it's recorded, I think. But no, it's live.
I guess.
It's really live.
That's right. But anyway, you guys take care and have a great October and 1st of November. And be safe around Halloween if you're in the U.S. And don't forget, most importantly, to measure twice and cut once. Good night.
Mike, is your mic off? Because we're still on. We're still on. Well, you better turn it off.
Why don't you turn yours off first?
I'll do that, too. Good night, everyone. Okay.
Good night, everyone.